Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. In my talk yesterday, I emphasized the help provided by the compassion of the Eternal, and as an adjunct to that compassion, or an aspect of it, human compassion and sympathy in helping heal the spiritual wounds, resolve the spiritual jangles, karmic jangles that we experience so painfully at times. We can emphasize the compassion in that way. When we do so, the wisdom side of the help of the Eternal goes a bit into the background. It's said that when we look on the whole stream of karma with enlightened eyes, we see not a single speck of dust. And if we understand that these knots of pain are the specks of dust, this is asserting something quite remarkable. How can it be that one can look back on all of the painful events, on all of the events that we're ashamed of, on all the events over which we grieve, on all of the events that startled and horrified us, look back upon them and see only immaculacy? Yet this is literally what happens when these events are viewed from the deepest place. In How to Grow Lotus Blossom, Rinpoche Master pointed out that while the essential nature of existence is this immaculacy, we cannot know this immaculacy. We cannot see with enlightened eyes, see the immaculacy, until we have made a sincere effort to clean up our part of the mess of existence. From this it must be clear, should be clear, that the inherent painfulness, messiness of existence somehow is part of the truth, and the inherent immaculacy of existence somehow is part of the truth. And while it certainly is the case that the immaculacy, the emptiness of existence is the fundamental, deepest truth, it is also true that we can't just live at that level, that we know suffering, we know pain, and we have lessons that we need to learn in this lifetime about how suffering is created. And we have the opportunity to do something within ourselves about the causes of suffering. Put very simply, the fundamental immaculate nature of existence does not need sympathy and compassion to somehow fix it. Because there's nothing wrong or out of place in the first place. But our lives need all the help they can get. And in our lives, sympathy and compassion can provide great help. It is through training in compassion, first compassion for ourselves, then compassion for others, that we are able to come to the place where one day we can look at the stream of karma and indeed the whole of existence with enlightened eyes and see not a single speck of dust. So what is it to have compassion for oneself and to have compassion for others? The quintessential act of having compassion for ourselves is to truly meditate. For while whatever compassion we can muster is inevitably very small and very limited, when we truly meditate and open our minds and our hearts to the eternal and allow the help of the eternal to flow into our minds and hearts, a very great compassion is able to get at our spiritual need, to get at the roots of suffering, the actual causes of suffering. So you could say that the best way to have compassion for ourselves is to put ourselves in the position in which we allow the compassion of the eternal to do all the heavy lifting in helping us. Seen in this light, the more external worldly ways in which people try to help themselves are necessarily understood to be very, very limited in their scope because they're not really going to get at the roots of suffering. That does not mean they have no use at all. As I've said earlier, I think we all need all the help we can get. But nothing is going to take the place of pure zazen, pure meditation. And if we want to live a life that is beneficial to others, the more we ourselves can get helped and straightened out, realigned by the compassion of the eternal, the wiser will be our actions in relation to others, and the more genuinely beneficial. Of course, there's the saying, charity begins at home. And what I'm saying here is, you know, real compassion begins with having compassion for ourselves. And real compassion for ourselves begins with allowing the compassion of the eternal to help us. This puts things in the correct order. And note that it begins from a position of a genuine humility, recognizing that we are not God, we are not all powerful, and we need help with the karmic burden that we are lugging. The purpose of religion is to enable people to seek that help and to find that help in the right place. Because, of course, without genuine religion, people seek help in ways that often make the problem worse rather than genuinely helping. In this talk, I've given a little explanation of the very first lines of the Scripture of Great Wisdom. When one with deepest wisdom of the heart that is beyond discriminative thought, the Holy Lord, Great Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva, knew that the skandhas, body and mind, were as they are in their self-nature void, unstained, and pure. I said in this talk that it's through compassion that we come to wisdom. We have to go through the doorway of compassion and train in compassion in order to come to wisdom and then to train in wisdom. The Holy Lord, Great Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, represents the compassion of the Eternal. We have the Buddha nature, therefore that compassion is always available to us. And it's through that compassion, through true compassion, that we come to recognize body and mind, the whole stream of karma, the whole of existence, with all of its messiness, all of its pains, all of the things that happen within it, both good and bad, as being void of self, unstained, and immaculate.
To all of them.